verses 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So we invite you to join us this morning in rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God with us.
Let's stand and sing, "Great is thy faithfulness."
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Everyone knows.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing us, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
You may be seated.
All right, well, good morning. A few announcements. First is, remember the baby bottles that you might have took a couple weeks ago? Bring those back. We're supposed to have those two life choices by Mother's Day, and that goes for pregnant mothers to make educated choices on their unborn children. We will be announcing next week through email when the morning Bible study will start again. We just haven't determined if it's going to be before or after, what exactly it's going to be, so that'll be coming out in email this week, which leads us into the new church directory. Please either see Mary or write it on the clipboard back there to make sure that your information is up to date, or if it's not on there, put it on there. That way you can get those emails as they're being sent out. Lunch bunches starting again for whatever remaining time high school has. They are 12:30 Thursdays here. Again, Mary always needs assistance, whether it be cooking, cleaning, or just preparing, or just loving on the kids when they come. So it says we had 20 students this past week, which is quite a blessing. As you guys know, we do have three foreign missionaries we do support through our church. The first is Caleb and Marina McClellan, which is in Africa. Turkey. I get ahead of myself sometimes. Caleb and Marina are in Turkey. Dan and Jenny Bryant in Africa. And the Hayes, which are from Spain, we actually had Deanna here this morning. Where is she at? Oh, she's hiding back there, yeah. Well, hello, Deanna, and welcome. And then she'll be here for a few days, correct?
Yes.
Until Wednesday morning. So yeah, me and Pastor will meet with her tomorrow, but if anybody's interested in talking with her, there she is, just coordinating with her, and kind of figuring out what they're doing out there. To my understanding, they're starting some kind of a new mission out there in Spain. And the other last announcement I just got is the Young Life is meeting every week now. At 7:07, typically at Ridgeway Community Church. Tonight they're meeting at, or tomorrow, it's Scott Yale's house, and they're watching that really Christian movie, Napoleon Dynamite. I'm just kidding. It is. Anyway, but 7:07 Mondays at Ridgeway Community Church. And the only other announcement I have is, again, we don't pass offering plate around, but if you are interested in giving to the works of the church and the missions of the church, we do have offering plates at both doors that you would be happy to have here. Any other announcements that I'm missing? None? Good. Let's go into life in the body and prayer time. I just have my own prayer. My daughter and her friend Nick are here just for the few weeks, and we're glad to have her. So we'll, and you, Nick, and so we'll be praying for the time with us. What other type of prayer requests do we have? Yes, Harlan. We will continue to pray for revival throughout the land. Yes, Mark. Yes, we will continue to pray for all those affected by the Lord. Yes. Amen. That's the beauty of this time of year. It snows and then it melts. Yes. So Kelsey's sister. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath morning you've given us to come and sing praises to your name, to glorify your name, to hear your word, let it penetrate our hearts and minds and open our hearts and minds to bring us closer to your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for all those who have traveled safely, either here or away. We're always eternally grateful for the blessings you've had us, you've given us. Safe travels is one of the words, and we ask you to continue to be with those who are traveling. Keep them awake and alert, and those around them who are awake and alert. And wherever they're going, we ask you to bring them there safely. Lord, we pray for our fellow humanity out there in Ukraine and in Russia. Lord, we ask you to keep them safe as according to your will, Lord. Lord, we pray for all those who have been affected by this war, and there are millions. Lord, we ask Christians throughout the world and others throughout the world to come to their aid, lift them up where needed, give them rest, and give them someone to lean on during this time of need. Lord, we pray for those making decisions to make godly decisions. Get away from their self-seeking desires so they can love others and love you and make decisions based on that guidance. Lord, we thank you so much for the moisture you've given us. We are always grateful for it. We need it. And we know it's a blessing for you, and we will be always thankful for it, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with Kelsey's sister and her child. We ask you to lift them up, keep them strong, heal her after his birth, keep the child safe and healthy as well. Lord, we pray for our soldiers and airmen, all those throughout the land who are away from family this day. We pray for our law enforcement who put their lives in danger on a daily basis, and our medical people who do the same as well. Lord, we ask you to be with them and keep them safe. Lord, we ask you to be with us during this time and accept our praises to you, our prayers, our songs. And just may we glorify your name in all we do. We love and praise you. And I'd ask you to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Let's stand and sing one more song together. We learned this song last week, so help you all remember. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and grace.
Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only, breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great. Are you? shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath
in our lungs. We pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Yeah. beyond that, I think, again, let's go a little bit further. Because, you know, this is one thing that I love about Scripture, is that it doesn't hold back kind of the top parts of things that are going on. There's all sorts of fractious relationships going on in the Bible. You know, even the Apostle Paul has some issues with some of his friends. And so we see this, and I think what's frustrating is I think we can all think back, probably not too far back, when we have broken trust with somebody, or let somebody down, or talked about somebody. You know? And what's really sad is that I find sometimes, maybe you guys have had this experience too, is that sometimes the most unloving people can be found right here in church. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that you'll hear people say when they don't go to church. It's the hypocrisy that we see. And so maybe you guys are familiar with this person, Brennan Mann, who wrote Back Among the Gospel. He wrote this a little while back. For the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus and lips, walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. And it's such a tough thing to hear, but I think it's necessary. And so today, maybe you guys have history of broken relationships and have left you that hope that things could ever change. But this is the good news about Peter's story that we're going to have today, is that Peter, his story doesn't end with his death. And he lost friendship for that matter of fact. And our story doesn't have to do it. So if you have your Bibles tomorrow, we're going to be in John 21. I'm going to ask you to stand and read these verses, 1 through 19. We'll be up on the screen here if you follow along. But I'm going to pray first, because I always think it's really important that you read Scripture, and you guys can maybe take this as a practice, and then take Scripture. This is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, asking for our help, to illuminate for us to see things that you want us to see. So let's just pray that. God, I thank you for this morning, and thank you for this time of reading the Word. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us fresh eyes that, as we read the Scripture, that we can see things here for the first time. You think that we have probably read more than once. I pray, Lord, that you would just reveal things that you want to know. So, as we read your Scripture, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just feel your presence and that you can say, ask us in Jesus' name. So, starting in verse 1, chapter 21, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Well then. They said to him, we will go with you. And they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find them. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul in because of the quantity of fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for it, and he threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, so they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net did not come. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and looked and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. And this is now the third time that Jesus has revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know what I do. He said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. And then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show that what kind of death he was born by God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." So what we learn here, following Peter's denial of Jesus, the Bible says Peter and the others go back to fishing. Question is why? Why do they go fishing? I think this is kind of an interesting thing, because I think anytime we experience failure in life and failure in faith, I think we have a tendency to run back to us. You know, we don't want to do things that I think help us distract our mind. So, for a second here, what's comfortable for you? You don't answer that, but let's think about it. What is it that you'd like to do when you just want a distraction? For me, I can do a number of things. Playing sports, watching TV, movies, getting outside, fishing, and for Peter, for him, it's fishing. And I get that because I love it. I don't know if you guys know this, but I grew up on Long Island Sound. So the salt water there. And my dad, that was his favorite thing to do. When you go to the Northeast, you go to the net. So fishing. We would go out, we had both our lives just out growing up. And we would always be out there. So it was probably the only time my dad allowed me to skip school was to go fishing. And I loved it. I loved being on a boat in the afternoon sun, just jumping off the water. You wait for something to bite. You know? There's not a whole lot said on fishing. We've got a lot of time today. But here's the thing. I think sometimes what's familiar isn't always a healthy option for doing the things we face. And for many of us, what's easy or familiar is the means of avoiding or dealing with what needs to be worked out. And I got to tell you, right now, what we're learning in Scripture right this moment is for Jesus, he's not interested in avoiding doing what I face. And his death and resurrection proved and proving that when he talks about his friends, that this is the point of that. When we just came and celebrated with that, we feel about Jesus dying on a cross. And his resurrection was the point of leading the way so that the relationship can be restored, that specifically with us and God. And so, again, no big surprise here that Jesus wants to restore a relationship. So, but how to do this? So I want to just go back and look at what this verse is a little bit here. Let's just read again, of course, read that again, understand. And it says, "Look, just as the day was great, Jesus stood on the shore. He had decided to not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to the children, 'You have a fish,' and they asked him, 'No.' They said, 'We cast the net on the other side of the boat.' So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the falling fish." Now, I underline this because it's significant here. And why is this? Well, let's look at another passage here. Let's look at when Peter was called to follow. In Luke 5:1-7, it says, "On one occasion, when the crowd was pressing in on him," that was Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Genesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out on them, and were washing the nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked to put out a little bit from the land. He sat down and caught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing.'" Sound familiar? "But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking." Now this is that death, they agree here earlier in Jesus' ministry at the start. And it goes on to sitting with their partners and the other folks. In verse 8, which they include on the slide, says this: "When it's time to hear a story, tell them Jesus and he's saying, 'Apart from me, for I am a sinful man.' And I have to know all this sermon, I don't know what they would do. But I wanted you to at least have the correlation with this moment that is happening here in Scripture to what happened almost 3 years earlier. Jesus is God's dearest attention. And here we are, Romans resurrection. Think about this, right? Peter has failed to stand up for Christ and denied him 3 times, right? That he ever knew him. Now, just imagine, he now has worked that Jesus is alive. Right? In some ways, it's kind of easy for you to kind of deal with the fact that I disappointed something, I broke up, things like that. I don't hate that person every day. Guess what? Jesus is not going to let him walk with us. So, introduce Jesus. Jesus comes today to show reminds and call death to close. As soon as the disciples recognize that Jesus, Peter deep into the water at this point to show us. Why is Peter so drastically what's different? I think simply here is actually a little bit of that relationship with Jesus and Jesus. I think that's what really fuels Peter's desire to jump into that water, which really leads us to our first point today, and that is Jesus' grace restores our hope. I'm afraid that maybe some of you this morning feel like you guys have made so many mistakes that it's hard for you to even imagine what it would be like to live. And we kind of lost hope that God would ever love us. But here's what I want you to hear today this morning, is that we have a Savior who's come to our shore, and he's offering us grace. I was in my second year of college when we were young. I grew up in a Christian home. I had 2 parents who did everything they could to get me to experience the love of God, bring me to church, meet me in the name of the truth, sacrificing money for those own mission trips and things like that. And I have to tell you, I really didn't have a love for the church. And at some point I'll share with you kind of my whole story. But for now, I can tell you, I had that constant one foot in church, one foot in the world kind of mentality. And my parents were disciplinary, I don't know them, but they were. And so when I came to choosing a college, it was really about how far I could be from my parents. So I found one that and that was my goal. I was kind of an undergraduate Christian major, but I still had this idea that I wanted to be a police officer. My grandfather was, my dad was. Why not? I'm a good generation. And so that was what interested me. So I took it because I had a love for the church and a love for the people. And what happened is that really love what happened in my heart was just my bigger desire to live my life. And so, when I got down there, I kind of quickly began to use my party. And I was educated that I wanted to move off campus for the next semester for the intention of not having accountability anymore. Because I literally, there was all sorts of accountability. Doing my facial hair, you had to wear your dress clothes throughout the day. There was all sorts of rules that I didn't understand or didn't like. And I was always trying to push the envelope that far to go. I mean, they had room checks where they had to vet me. There's a lot. So if you can imagine why I want to get off campus. You know, full alone would be a 9-hour trip with my parents. The second step was a lot of people who want to come to the hotel. So first day, we're in second year into our apartment. We run into a bunch of fraternity guys from the Michigan College. And started the friendship. And from that moment on, I just started like, you know, occasionally it was a weekend party, and then I started going to R&D and classes, and became friends with the kid who supplied drugs to the school, and so drinking was drugs, and more and more party, and then I was talking to classes, because I was sure what started drinking at 4, you know, coming at 2 or 3 in the morning, sleep, eat, started messing with it. And so this led to Christmas break. And I'm home with my parents, and I know that one got caught, and they just fell out. I wasn't smart enough to withdraw, and they finished with 5 S. So I tried to get into college, and I'll add that to the second of the GPA. I had 1.05 to get back to college. Going back here. It was a tough struggle to get up to a happy place. So, I'll go that a little bit here. But Christmas Eve. Just had finished with the sea service, and all sitting around the fire, and I'm going to go to the house. even people who have poured into me from the pastor, friends, things like that, from the church people. But again, the point of Jesus' death and resurrection is that there's a way that God can deal with our sins and not our sins. And our mistakes and shortcomings can be overcome and covered by God's grace. However, restoration does not mean that you avoid any of our things. And it doesn't mean you don't deal with the rest of the world. So, going back to that semester of fall, this is the discipline that my parents provide. I worked two jobs. I came back for money, I wasted. And I got up 4 o'clock every morning, went to the business store, finished that shift by 3 o'clock, and 5 o'clock I started wearing a physical alternative. So, here's how that for you. And then we worked at the 5 o'clock. And that was my life. I had no life. I worked. I worked a lot. And I paid back debts. I had an apartment I paid for my share. And I became a little mad because I had 2 roommates. And I was afraid of that. So I went down there. And I didn't have to really want it. And I had to say I'm sorry. And I had to deal with the fact that, guess what? You say small churches are. It doesn't matter what church you're in. If you're young, you know. And people do more mistakes. And I had a little of that pretense of judgment when people were wrong. Paul touched out. He was too big. He said, but that's like something else. I had a little under that. I remember that was really hard to get into, too. Because I remember complaining to God about that. Like, seriously, you see how hard I'm trying. And he was like, yeah, really? You know, how long is it going to take to get to where you have it? How long do you think it's going to take to get back to the side? I knew God was proud of me, but that was also a crossroad. I could either just let people get after me and directly, or I could go after them and he was true about where I was heading, how God felt about me, and all those things. And then stay the course. But I couldn't afford doing more things. I guess I could have, but that is not the way that I would choose one to go. And I think this is the point. You never wrestle with how much it costs and how much you do. It will always be easier to do than to sit in the presentation. That's holy. And this is really what brings us to our next point here, is that Jesus' grace is intended to make us whole again. He doesn't want to just have a half-finished product. He wants to see you back whole. And he wants to hear your knowledge and forgiveness, but he wants to hear you being whole again. And to do that, Jesus needs to be pure, understand the depth of his love and grace. And so, we're going to just look at this process now with Peter, that Jesus takes Peter through and restoring him back to wholeness. So, look at John 21 again. Because I think this is kind of an interesting process that he takes Peter through. Especially when it comes to reconciling the word of God. Now, it says here in verse 9 of 21, they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went forward and hauled the net ashore full of large fish. Let's stop here for a second. I love the Lord because mixed in there, not to say he's having a little fun with here, but the scene is set. Jesus shows up, he wants to restore the relationship, however, he needs to deal with something. And he's going to go right in with it. And what does he set up? A nice meal. What should he food? Fish. What does he ask Peter to go do next? Go bring some of that fish. Right? This is not by mistake. Don't miss what's happening here. Okay? Because then comes this next part here, is that after breakfast comes the question, right? And so here's the verse. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than you? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you are, I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, tame my sheep. And then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Peter goes where this is headed. And what's going on? Do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, I'm feeding my sheep. My question this morning is, when he asked that first question, do you love me or do you? Who are you talking to? What are you talking about? A lot of commentaries will say, yeah, maybe the disciples, but most of them have actually caught a fish in this moment. Starts out with a miracle of hauling in a fish. Second part is breakfast with fish. Peter can get into fish. The first question he asks is, what am I going to be? The beginning of Peter being engaged almost starts with Peter being honest about what's going on. And I think that's a process for all of us. What is going on in our heart? I think four things happen with these questions that Jesus asked. And I think they're critical for restoring this relationship moving forward. I think the first thing when he asks him, he goes, what will be? This question helps Peter understand why he denied him no fear. The truth is Peter really was calling at that time. He was still holding on to his whole life. He had one foot in that world and one foot in the church. And he still wasn't sure that what he was going to do. And I think the question helps Peter come to grips, at least mentally, with the idea of, am I all in? Or do I really want this? I think the second thing it helps clarify is it helps understand that his actions have consequences. What do I mean by that? Well, Peter is a man of influence. So we are here post-resurrection. How is he influencing us? Let's go fishing. He takes almost 7 to 8 disciples with him out fishing. Back to the old lifestyle. Again, I think this question is called Peter and Sam. You're a man of influence. This question keeps saying, feed my sheep. You're a man of influence. What are you doing right now? You're influencing people. It keeps reminding him to be my sheep every time he asks a question. I think the third thing is, and I think this is really important, the question allows Peter to humble his heart. We live in a world, and I'm not accusing anybody. Trust me. It's a problem, it's part of the problem. That's something that's something. But taking ownership of things we've done wrong is not a high priority in this moment. It's always somebody else's fault. They didn't do it. Or, you know, whatever the case is. That's why I'm a big believer in not saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what? I'm sorry for the taking of responsibility. If I say for it, I was wrong. Now you're taking responsibility. And Jesus needs Peter, if he's going to be full of him, he needs to take responsibility for his words. I think this question allows him to do that. And I'll add one more thing here, even though three seems to be a common number in our past. I think Peter, it helps Peter understand that there is a future. There is a future beyond the state. Jesus does not know what he is, and he certainly does not know what he is. That's why I keep saying, be my sheep. As a result, Peter being made whole, we go on to see how this translates into Peter's life. Peter goes on to prove his love, which is not living a life for Jesus. This is our last point this morning. During this conversation, Jesus' dedication ends each time with a call to action. He says, be my sheep. Essentially, Jesus is giving Peter the opportunity to demonstrate his love for Jesus by serving others. Interesting, we never read again. At this point, I'm here on the application. So we do read about his presence in the influence of the church. Now, I'm not saying fishing is bad, because that would be more burdensome for me. Because I like to fish. And I don't think Peter gave up fishing altogether. But I think Peter had the right idea of when to throw fish or not. Don't make fishing at all of the and he ends up giving his life to save the church. Peter's love for Jesus is proven in his life. My favorite thing about this conversation was short, how Jesus finishes the discussion. He invites Peter, as he did in the very beginning, to his office. And this is an important truth for us this morning. Because every one of us is invited to follow Jesus. But there are going to be times when we make mistakes and we fail in our faith. But even when we fail to remain faithful, the invitation is exactly the same to follow Jesus. Point of Jesus' death and resurrection only meant to give us sincere hope that God is known them and that he has plans to use the spirit in his work. So this morning, as we close here, I'll just leave you with this last idea. And that is the Father, the word of Jesus, holds here. And Jesus. So Jesus, I confess to you that I have not loved you in my life from the whole life. There are very few times where I have failed miserably to be faithful to serve the Holy Spirit. God is active to live for the world. He is allowing my life to show others that you're never going to. I pray that through the power of the Spirit, to live in such a way that demonstrates your grace. Amen. And God, I pray that prayer for each person in here. That we would be not defined by our mistakes, but by the grace and love that is demonstrated through your Son Jesus. God, help us to be a part of things. Thank you for your resurrection hope that we have, that even in the most disappointing, monumental ways where relationships are falling apart, that we have a pathway of love, and we lay it out in scriptures. Help us never to be so proud that one of our mistakes is bad.
Will you stand and let's sing one more song together? We will feast in the house of Zion.
In the house of Zion.
done great things, we will say together, we will feast and weep no more. In the dark of night, before the my soul be not afraid, for the promised morning, oh how long. O God of Jacob, be my strength. We will feast in the house of Zion. With our hearts restored,
he has done
great things. We will say together, we will feast and weep no more. Every vow we broken and betrayed, you are the faithful one, and from the garden to the grave, bind us together, bring shalom. We will feast in the house of Zion. We our hearts restored.
He has done
great things. We will say together, we will feast and weep no more. We will feast in the house of Zion. We will sing with our hearts restored.
He has done
great things. We will say together, we will feast and weep.